awards banquet, the awards ceremony yesterday, so they'll be traveling. But there's, you know, there's a constant, you know, conversation that goes on with respect to obviously players and picks, and you know, it's an exciting time of the year when it comes like that. Lots of currency around.
But with this being billed as like maybe the best draft in 15 years or so, do you get the sense GMs are a little more inclined to hold on to their picks, knowing that they might miss out on a really good player?
Well, I think that, you know, if you're talking about moving a pick, you're talking about maybe targeting someone or something that you like. So I think, you know, again, it's every room is going to have a different spin on things. I think there's lots of teams that don't have picks that some teams will maybe try and acquire some. So I think you've got that dynamic that is different as well. You've got teams with multiple second round picks, teams with multiple first round picks. Which again, it's like that in every draft, but you know, when you get to draft day or you get close to draft day, it's everyone wants to be involved. Okay, that's it. Thanks.
I can keep going.
You have the interview period opens today for UFAs.
Yes.
Will you do some of those? Will you interview some guys?
Well, we've made some calls. Again, there's we're still looking at our own, you know, UFAs as far as you know, the options you know, there with respect to re-signing them. But again, you know, there's always different needs and different areas of the organization that you know, you're looking at potentially seeing what's out there, and UFA is one of them, but you also look internally as well. So we'll make the necessary phone calls and try to, you know, hook up with the ones we want to.
Do this also work in your benefit? You know, maybe you've got one of your own UFAs who, you know, you've got an offer to or a framework.
Yeah.
He goes and speaks to other people and then kind of thinks, you know what Winnipeg's offering is really good, and maybe I'll go back to them and this works for me.
Well, time will tell, I guess. You know, again, there's always those dynamics that play themselves out, and it, you know, with the interview period being right around the draft and all the different events that are surrounding it, it makes for a very interesting and busy time.
Is there enough stuff crammed into this week for you?
Yeah, well, you know what, it is. It is interesting, coupled with the travel and you know, the like, but it's the same for everybody. So it's an exciting time, I think, for hockey. Obviously, the draft itself in hockey is such an important thing with respect to how, you know, pretty much every team has to build in some way or some respect through the draft. And so again, it's an exciting time for the game.
Marcel just said that, you know, obviously one and two are certain players, but then he said the top 10, you know, anywhere in there, everybody's, you know, those players are all very good, and he thinks that that's sort of where the break is in the first round, and if you could be in that top 10, are you willing to try to get in there, or is that something you'd be open to?
I think there's lots of teams that would like to, you know, try to do that, you know, so we'll make the necessary calls and explore to see, but, you know, again, different organizations are at different stages of their existence, so there might be you know, some willingness to do so. You know, some teams might be willing to do some things that you never thought they would, and you know, that's why you make the calls.
We can see three college players go in the top 10 for the first time ever. Is that an anomaly to you, or is this a trend that you might see continuing down the road?
You know, I just think that you know, each and every year is unique in its own right, and this year you've got some you know, some players that you know, chose that route that you know, are obviously highly acclaimed players. But again, it's I think every year is different, and you know, if it is a trend, great. If it's not, you know, again, you see what's available each and every year.
How many players would you have interviewed between the combine in Buffalo and here?
You know, again, we'll interview a few more players here. Some of them weren't at the combines. Some of them will be second interviews and the like. I think we interviewed 86 players at the combines. You know, between the combines and here, you really don't interview, you know, too many players more. But throughout the course of the year, you know, we really encourage our staff to you know, to have one-on-one interviews with the players, make the notes, put them in the system. So you know, there's probably a lot more, you know, interviews in the system than you had maybe on the individual side than you know, than as a group. You know, in a combine setting.
What happens at a second interview when you've already talked to a guy? What are you trying to find out that you didn't already ask?
Yeah, you know what, they're in different cases, different players, there might be some different things. Some between the time you interview them at the combine and here now, you may have talked to coaches, you may have talked to, you know, different people in the area that have seen him and stuff like that. And maybe there's some additional questions, or maybe there's just, you know, just to get that second comfort level. I think, you know, at the combine, there's so many interviews. There's so many, like, you know, all the kids are, you know, you ask them how many teams they're interviewing with, and a lot of cases it's anywhere from 20 to 26, you know, teams. So it's a kind of, you know, not a pressured time, but just a time that, you know, again, the kids really can't relax. Here it's a different time. If you have a one-on-one interview with a kid, he might have only met second time here with two or three teams, and maybe you see a little bit more of a truer personality of the player.
Do you have any kind of weird questions or oddball ones you want to test them with?
Yeah, no, we don't. We really don't try and trick the players. We're more of a team that, you know, really tries to make the player feel at ease. And you know, we really feel that when we choose to draft the player, we're drafting, you know, a player into our family. And it's not about trying to, you know, trick them. We'll ask them some hard questions. If there's some questions that, you know, we've, you know, maybe uncovered, or some, you know, some things that we truly want to know about, we'll ask them some difficult questions. But as far as trying to trick them with a crazy question or a weird question, we'd rather make them feel, you know, more at ease and feel part of the process.
Any update on Burmistrov?
You know, we had a chance, Mike Liut and ourselves had a chance to meet yesterday, and, you know, we had some good discussions, and, you know, we'll keep those discussions going.
Kevin, are you planning to be with Michael Foligno? So we said that he's in town here meeting with some teams. Would you like to sit down with him again before July 1st if you could?
Well, I think, you know, there's always that opportunity to sit down with Michael. Certainly we know Michael very well. He knows us very well. And, you know, we've had good dialogue with him and his representative. So we'll see how, you know, things play itself out. But, you know, certainly we'd love to, you know, sit down with Michael at some point. But for us, you know, again, he's been with us. He's part of our family. He knows what we bring to the table. We know what he brings to the table. It's just a matter of, you know, whether there's going to be a fit on the contractual side of things.
Encouraged though you were able to get the discussions back open with them?
They never were closed.
The schedule just came out this morning. People are still looking through a few quirks in it. What are your thoughts on it?
You know, it's like any schedule. You get it the first time, and you know, it's interesting, and you try and make some tweaks, you try and make some changes, but you know, it is such a big function of your own dates, the other team's dates, travel, TV, you know, so there's not a lot of things that you know, you can control when it comes to it. So you know, we were able to push a few things here and there, change a few start times and stuff like that to try and help the travel. But like anybody, you know, there's going to be parts of it that you're not going to like, and there's going to be parts of it that, you know, you're going to feel like, you know, I can handle this.
What's your position on the rule changes, the coach's challenge, or the 3-on-3 especially?
You know what, I like the 3-on-3. I think that, you know, it'll be exciting, you know, for the fans. I think the American Hockey League had some good results with what they were doing in the 4-on-4 to the 3-on-3. But, you know, I think when you get that open ice and you get the skilled players out there, you know, there'll be some interesting times. So I think it'll be, you know, a good thing for the game. From a coach's challenge perspective, you know, I think ultimately all we're trying to do here is get more towards the right call. It's going to be, you know, there's going to be some challenges, and I think there's going to be some times where people are going to say, well, they still, you know, maybe didn't get it right or whatever. But you use the best, you know, the best technology that you have, you know, capable to you to try and make the best decisions possible. And that's all, you know, in a fast game like ours, you'll just try to, you know, it's just another way to try and enhance the ability to make the better decisions.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.